It is one Greek word that is used there, eucharistio. That word literally means to give thanks. It's translated that way, and that absolutely is what it means. It means to be grateful. It means to express gratitude. The root of that word has the idea of being well favored. And so there's a sense with this word eucharistio that we are conscious of the fact that God has blessed us, God has favored us in some way. And so we are mindful of that. When you look at the root of that word in the Greek, it's the idea of being mindful of God's favor and of the blessing that he has given to us. We have a weekend, this weekend, that we set aside, Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And as Richard mentioned it is in his opening, it is so good that we have a weekend set aside for that. But really, we shouldn't need a weekend, should we, to be thankful for all the blessings that God has given to us. And really, ultimately, being thankful or giving thanks, being grateful, should be something that characterizes our lives every day. Certainly, those of us that know Christ as Lord, it should characterize our lives every day. There is in that idea of giving thanks and the idea of gratitude, being mindful of the favor that God has given us, a recognition of the fact that everything we have, every good thing that we have, comes to us from the Lord. And in that understanding that the good things that we have, the blessings that we have, the favor that we enjoy, is something that God has given to us, out of that, or connected to that, is the idea of our dependence on him. There is built into that the recognition that I am dependent on him, that everything good that I have has come to me from God. And so, again, tied into this, I don't want to complicate it, but tied into this, there's this sense of submission, and there's a sense of obedience when we express thankfulness and gratitude to God. It is taking the focus off of ourselves. It is putting the focus on God, who is the blesser. It is the basis of humility. Gratitude is the basis of humility, as opposed to pride, where we have a sense of self or what we have done or what we have acquired or what we have accomplished. But gratitude comes from a place of humility, where I recognize that this is not all from me or about me. It comes to me from God. And it is so critical. Being thankful and having gratitude in our hearts is so critical to a proper perspective in our relationship to God and our walk with God. Giving thanks can be more, though, than being grateful for God's favor. There's a sense that we could go a little bit deeper with that idea that giving thanks can be literally, and we've seen that, I think, this morning, and we have expressed that this morning in song as we have gathered here, and we will do it in a little while as we remember the Lord. But giving thanks can be an expression of praise for God's goodness as we recognize the goodness of God in our lives. And going deeper still than that even, giving thanks can be an expression of worship, where we go beyond, if you will, or we look beyond the blessings and the favor that God has given to us, and we're thankful for the God who gave us those things. And so the focus then goes to God, the giver himself, and that is where we find our place, if we get there, to a place of worship before God. But I want to come back to Ephesians 5:20. Let me read it again. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some parameters that are in that verse. And if you are like me, and if you have read this verse before, maybe, perhaps you have struggled with the parameters that are in that verse. Literally says, giving thanks in our translations, giving thanks for all things. Now that is easy to say when life is good. When you've got all the money that you need, you've got the health, your health is good, your family's good, you're in this great place where life is just rolling along, it is much easier to say that I am thankful to God for all things. It is not easy to say that or to believe that or to live in that when you go through trial or adversity. And I'm going to be really honest this morning. Now, there are times, and there has been a season in our life where it's so hard for me to be thankful for everything. So if you are feeling that this morning, you are not alone. If you struggle with this statement like this, giving thanks for all things, then you are not alone, because there's at least one person in here, me, that has struggled with that and struggles with that sometimes. And so I want to begin, and I'm going to go in a direction now that I'm not sure how this will land on you, but it's the way the Lord has led me. Does God expect us, then, to be thankful for everything? The phrase says, for all things. So let me just open that can a little bit more, okay? Are we to be thankful for disasters that devastate communities, that kill people? Are we to be thankful for horrific crimes? A couple that we know, recently there was a prayer request from another place, not here, and someone that they knew, so it's a friend of a friend of a friend, but there was a home invasion and this person's wife was killed in the home invasion. Is that something we're to be thankful for? Are we to be thankful for the abuse of children? There are things that you read about and you hear about, and let's be honest, you don't even want to think about it or that those things are going on. Is that something we should be thankful for? Is that part of the all things? Are we to be thankful for wars? For the murder of innocent people? Is the Holocaust something that we should be thankful for? Should we be thankful for disease that cripples people's bodies, cancer that does what it does, or like my sister-in-law who is dying of ALS right now, is that something that we should be thankful for? Should we be thankful for suffering in the world? Should we be thankful for death? So most of you know me, so you know where I'm going here, right? Some of you, maybe you don't. I'm not thankful for the death of our son. I'm not. And maybe that's wrong. And that's between me and God. God knows. You may have things, as I said earlier, if you've struggled with things in your life that you are not thankful for, there's at least one person in here, as I said earlier, that struggles with that too. God knows. What you may be carrying that is so overwhelming to you. And it may not be the death of a child, but it may be some difficulty, some pain, some struggle, something, a relationship, a burden for someone that you love, or whatever it is, but it's this thing in your life that you just struggle with. And you read a verse like, be thankful for all things, and I don't know how you respond to that. Maybe you don't even want to hear that, or you push it away, or you just kind of roll your eyes, or whatever. So how do we unpack this? How do we take this truth, which is clearly in God's word, when we're not thankful for things at times that touch our life? There are some things that we struggle with. The word for in there, Ephesians 5:24, thankful for all things, is the word hyper, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong in the Greek. Hyper, sometimes we take that, we've got our English word hyper out of that. But it literally means, this is what it literally means, over or above or beyond one's situation. That's interesting, isn't it? So that when we think about what is being really said here in this verse, it's not really the way we think of it as that we should be thankful for everything, like all the negative and the evil stuff in the world, as well as all of the good stuff. It's not that. It is this idea of giving thanks above all things, or over all things. Or another way of translating that would be giving thanks in spite of all things. The Expositor's Greek Testament says this, commenting on this phrase in this verse, The matter is one primarily of attitude or spirit. The Greek translated as for all things is taken by many in its widest possible extent to include things evil as well as good. And so what he's saying is that we sometimes kind of lump the evil in with the good here. The epistle does not deal, however, with the sufferings of the Christian, but with what he receives from God and what his consequent duty is. It is most accordant, therefore, that the context to understand the passage as referring to all the blessings of the Christian, the whole good that comes to him from God, and not necessarily the evil things that touch our lives. So I want to conclude, and you may disagree, but I'm going to conclude that there are some things that it is okay not to be thankful for the evil that exists in our world, for the evil that sometimes touches our lives, for the effects of sin and the curse and what it has done, and the very things that God hates. I think God is okay with us not being thankful for those things. And so that's one parameter. But there's a second parameter in this verse, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word always literally means at all times, in every circumstance, every when literally is one way of translating it. But again, the idea of being thankful in every circumstance. Now where I struggle with the first parameter, this one we need to say, or I will say to this one, yes, that we are maybe not necessarily thankful for everything that comes into our life, everything that exists in the world, and those things, as I said earlier, that are difficult to be thankful for, but we can be thankful in every circumstance, regardless of the evil that touches our lives or touches our world. See, this is a different thing. It is different to be thankful in the circumstance than to be thankful for the specific thing itself. This goes to the principle of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that I read earlier, that in everything, Paul says, in everything, not for everything, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That in all circumstances, no matter what the situation is that we find ourselves in, there are literally times that the soul can feel intense pain and grief. And yet at the same time, this is where my feelings are, this is where my soul is, but through the Spirit of God, even simultaneously when I'm feeling that, I can have gratitude to God for many things in my life. That is possible. It is possible for those two things to coexist in our lives, to feel pain, to feel grief, to go through difficulty, and yet at the same time be thankful, even in that circumstance that is creating the sorrow in my life. There's a book that I probably have mentioned to you over the last couple of years, maybe not. It's called 1,000 Gifts, written by Ann Voskamp. And in that book, as she talks about sorrow and suffering in different ways in a powerful, beautiful way that she writes, the idea or the principle of this book is her goal to list 1,000 things that she was thankful for in her life, to counter the negative thinking and the negative oppression that was crushing her because of the sorrow that had touched her life and what she saw around her. And that's kind of the premise of the book, and it's more than that. But I thought, what a powerful thing. So I started doing my own list. And I'm not even to 200 yet in that list. I got a long way to go. Of things to be thankful for in our lives in spite of the pain or the difficulty that touches our lives. I highly recommend the book. Some of you, I'm sure, have read it or you have it, but I highly recommend it. I want to get even a little more personal here. My motivation in doing this is that if there's someone here this morning that is struggling with pain or struggling with suffering or struggling with the idea of how can God be good when bad stuff is happening in the world or in my life, if that's the kind of thing that you're wrestling with, my hope is that what I'm going to share here will be some strength or some encouragement to you. So, even in the death of our son, even in Nathan's death, there are things that Jackie and I are thankful for. As we process through grief, these things would come to our mind, and we're thankful even in the early days, and as we reflect on it, often we talk about the fact that we're thankful for this, or we're thankful for that. Let me just list some of them. We are thankful for God's grace that has carried us through the darkest days and continues to carry us, even still when there are days that darkness threatens to pull us down. God carries us. We are thankful to him for that. We are thankful for God's faithfulness. We were singing about his faithfulness this morning, one of my favorite hymns. God's faithfulness to do that for us, to sustain us, to provide for us, to care for us through the love of his people. Many of you have been those people that have shown kindness and love and grace to us, and we are so thankful for that. We are thankful for our remaining family members, the three children that we still have in our life. And it is not an at least we have them. It is more than that. Each one is precious to us, our children and their spouses and our 9 beautiful grandchildren, and they fill our hearts, and we are so thankful for them. We are thankful for the way that our son died. Now, that might sound insane maybe to you. And I want to tread really carefully here, because I don't want to offend anyone, because I know that some of you have been touched by what I'm going to mention right now. And so I'm very sensitive to that. Please don't be offended. We are thankful for the way our son died. He did not commit suicide. He was not murdered. He is not missing still. He did not die of a drug overdose. Some of you, I'm sure, have experienced what I have just mentioned here this morning. And so we are grateful, as much as our hearts are burdened for those of you that have been touched by this, we are grateful that we did not have to see our son die that way. He was doing something that he loved to do. And so we're thankful for that. We are thankful too, and we've talked about this so many times as we interact now with other people going through grief, that there was no blame in our son's death. Like, no one could say, well, I was right there, if only I would have done this or whatever, all those what ifs. Even in what we've gone through, the what ifs come, but really it makes no sense, because ultimately he was alone doing what he loved to do when he died. And so we're thankful that no one can be blamed. There's not that part of another layer of grief and what we have to go through already. We're thankful that our son's body was recovered in that agonizing prayer. That agony of prayer that I prayed that we would find, that the police would find his body, and they did. And we are thankful for that. We are thankful for the truth of God's purpose. We don't know why. We struggle with why. But I hold on to this. My God had a purpose in allowing my son to die. It was not an accident. I understand from the worldly perspective, they would look at that and say that was a tragic accident. But I'm convinced God knew exactly what he was doing. He allowed our son to die. It was not an accident. It was not random. And we hold on to the purpose of God in what we have gone through, what her family has gone through. So we are thankful for God's purpose. We are thankful for the gospel that was heard by so many people who needed Christ. And although I can't say this morning, I know this person got saved because of Nathan's death, I'm convinced that in eternity we will see the impact that his death and our grieving and the funeral and all of those things have had. And so we're thankful for that. We are thankful that we had Nathan for 28 years and 2 days. I said to my cousin the week after he died, and we sat talking about the funeral, and I said, if God would have told me when he was born you're going to have him for 28 years and 2 days, and then I'm going to take him. Would you want him? And I said, not a hesitation. I would say I want him, even if for that amount of time. And so we're thankful for the time that we have. And brothers and sisters, we are so thankful that he is in heaven. I did a series on heaven here. Some of you heard some of that. One day we're going to be reunited. And we live every day with the thought and the hope and the expectation of that. On my phone, I have a little reminder. You know, the reminder things on your phone that I use a lot. But there's one reminder at the top of my list. And every day I count the days. And this morning is 933 days from when he left this world. It's 933 days closer to when I will see him. We will see him again someday. Even, this is where I want it to be practical. Even in the darkest experiences of life, in the most painful things, circumstances that you can go through, you can be thankful. There are always things that you can see, even in that circumstance, that you can be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. Giving thanks always. Now this morning, no matter how bad the circumstance is in your life, and you may be going through things that are way worse than what we have gone through, but no matter how bad the circumstance is, or that thing that keeps you awake at night and causes you to lose sleep, or that you're whatever, wrestling with the person or the circumstance, whatever that is, there is still so much to be thankful for. Our brother mentioned it in his opening this morning. We should be so thankful for the place where we live in this world. A couple of weeks ago, we had supper with an old friend of ours and his wife, and her parents. She was from Ireland. Her parents just emigrated to Canada from Ireland, and we sat and we had a meal with them, and we're sitting in the restaurant, and I said to them, I'm kind of thinking, like, Ireland is this great place to live, right? And I kind of was wondering why they would want to come to Canada, and they said, oh, it's not good where we came from. And I'm like shocked. I think sometimes where we live, and I don't know about you, but don't raise your hand. Sometimes you get negative about the stuff that's happening in our country, right? And yet, when I hear that from someone coming, not from a third world country, but from another part of Europe where they're saying how much better it is here and all the reasons why they came to Canada, it just makes me so thankful again for where I live in this world. We should be so thankful. We live in a place, in a country where there's peace. Imagine living in the Ukraine. Imagine living in Gaza. And so many other places in the world where there's conflict and turmoil. We live in a country, and again, our brother mentioned it, where we've got food. I'm sure you are going to eat so much this weekend, right? And we do, and we enjoy it. And I don't think it's wrong to enjoy that. But doing that conscious of the fact that God has blessed us so incredibly, there are people all around the world who are starving. And so being conscious of what God has blessed us, a beautiful part of the world, just the colors that we see in the trees and the beauty of this weekend. And we have so much in that way to be thankful for, so that even in the worst circumstance of life, you can look at those things and say, I'm so thankful that I have this, that God has blessed me in this way. I'm thankful you and I can all be thankful, all of us here this morning, for family and friends and the family of God, for the people that are close to us and dear to us in our life. And you may not have a big family, but you may have friends, you may have brothers and sisters in Christ that are like family to you, and to be thankful for those people that God has brought into our lives. We can be thankful this morning for God, the Creator who made us. We would not even exist if he had not created us in the beginning. And think about this, that even in the fall, even though he knew we would sin, that mankind would sin, he had a plan to redeem us and to save us, knowing we were going to fail. I mean, what an amazing God we serve. that he knew what would happen and he had a plan and it was all laid out in his order. We can be thankful that he came, that literally God came in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and lived in this world. And I'm going to go in a little bit of a direction here again, that we have a Savior who understands, I'm going to put it this way, he gets it. He gets it. He has felt pain. He has felt sorrow. He has felt disappointment. He has even experienced fear and anxiety. Read the Garden of Gethsemane and his prayer and look at the words that are used there. There's not one experience that you can go through in this life that Jesus can't say, I get it. And I know the details might be different to what he went through and I went through, but ultimately he has been touched with our own weaknesses and our own struggles. And when we pray to him, we are praying to a God. We are praying to a Savior who understands because he's been here. And he's lived here in this world. He's not distant from our pain or our struggle or whatever it is that we go through. We can be thankful this morning for Jesus, the Savior, who came and who lived and who loved and who died on a cross for each one of us here this morning. It's like God, if God could say, or is he not saying in the cross, all the time, look at how much I love you. Look at how much I love you. If you doubt my love, if you doubt that I care, if you think I'm oblivious to what is going on in your life, look at my son nailed to a cross and bleeding and dying and suffering, and then ask yourself, do you think I not care for you? That I would put my one and only son on that cross. We can be so thankful for that this morning. We can be so thankful that Jesus conquered death, that he came out of the grave, that he was resurrected. And because of that, one day, all of us that put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be raised, we will be changed, we will be transformed, and we will live eternally with him. That is something that is such a treasure to be thankful for. We can be thankful this morning for eternal life, that it is through, that is a gift that is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that salvation is not by works or merit. It's not by what I do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't make it. I would not make it. I wouldn't make it this week if you look back on this week and said, well, is he righteous enough to get to heaven? Failed here, failed here, failed here. But I'm not going to get to heaven because of my righteousness. I'm going to get there because of his righteousness, and so will you. It will be the only way. And it isn't amazing, you ever think about this? Like, religion says we got to do something to get to heaven. God says you can't do anything. I've done it all for you. And so it's just faith. I just want you to trust in me. I want you to believe in me. And it is the grace of God, the gift given to us. And that gift, that offer, that way to heaven is inclusive for every human being. Everyone, you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, that gift is for you. If through faith you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who died for you, the one who rose from the dead, who wants to save you. We can all be thankful this morning for that. We can all be thankful this morning for the hope of a home in heaven one day. When we will see Jesus, what is it going to be like to see him? And we will see the ones that we love that have gone ahead, that are waiting for us there. We can be thankful for that. In heaven, the things that we don't know now and struggle with, and the whys and those things will be made clear. We will see and we will know. And I think maybe in that day, for the first time, I'll be thankful for my son's death. I don't know. I want to read something by, in closing, a paragraph out of Albert Barnes commenting on some of the things here out of these verses. But he says this, Albert Barnes, he says, at the close of life and in heaven, we shall see occasion to bless God for all his dealings with us. We shall see that we have not suffered one pang too much or been required to perform one duty too severe. We shall see that all our afflictions as well as our mercies, were designed for our good and were needful for us. Why then should we not bless God in the furnace as well as in the palace, on a bed of pain as well as on a bed of down, in want as well as when sitting down at a splendid banquet? God knows what is best for us, and the way in which he leads us, mysterious though it may seem to be now, will yet be seen to have been full of goodness and mercy. Our Father, we ask that you would help us to be thankful in everything. The circumstances of our lives at times, as you know, may be overwhelming. But we thank you, God, that you are there in every circumstance. We thank you for the good times, the good days, the blessings, the things that we want, God. And you are so good and so faithful, to so generous in bestowing those things on us in the country that we live here, Father. We have so much to be thankful for. But there is pain, and there is suffering, and there is sorrow, and there is struggle, and there is doubt, and there is fear. And so even in those things, God, may we be thankful for all of the things that you have done for us, the things that you will do for us. Above everything else, may we be thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus, for who he is, for his life lived, for his life given on the cross for each one of us, for his resurrection, for the promise of eternal life that he has given to those that will trust in him. And so, Father, this morning, Lord, help us to be so thankful and so grateful in all things, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.